that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever-wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. confident, taking every step in obedience while I'm waiting.
Faith be more than anthems.
imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. By your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall?
Imagine, Jesus, what we will do and if we will say anything when we see you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Love you. Cannot wait to be in your presence. Welcome, everyone, to Rapture Centric Church. This is Michelle. We're Rapture Centric Church, where Jesus is our pastor, and we are just here to lift him up. So welcome, everyone, whether you're listening in on the phone or listening to this in chat or later on in archives, welcome. Welcome to our guest, who we encourage to make a username for yourself so you interact with everyone. Welcome, Rosemary, and welcome, Carol. And we have Tana on the line here, and I'll open her up in a little bit here. I will go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer, and then we will get started. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for getting us through to August 25th. And thank you, Lord, for providing for us and for giving us what we need and even things that we don't necessarily need, but we want, Lord. And thank you for providing for us, whether it be financially, physically, emotionally, Lord. Thank you. And thank you most of all for loving us even though that we are imperfect and we mess up, Lord. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins, Lord. Thank you so much for dying on the cross for our sins so that we can be with you for eternity and we can just focus on a relationship with you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for loving us and for desiring that relationship with us. Thank you, Lord, for wanting to marry us and wanting to rapture us. And thank you, Lord, for promising to get us out of here before major disaster hits, Lord. Thank you. And we would just want to say, we love you, Jesus. We love you. Cannot wait to marry you. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Heavenly Father. Love you, Holy Spirit. Love you. Cannot wait to see you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's see. I think in chat here, Carol was saying, I think it's her sister-in-law maybe. She's in the hospital. So we lift her up in prayer, Lord. Please help Carol's friend or sister-in-law, whoever it is, you know who it is. Please help her to be okay and help heal her body, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, not too much going on with me. I just got off of my midnight shifts, so I'm trying to adjust back to regular sleep cycles, and I'm still completely exhausted. I feel like I go to sleep right now. So I do have a flirt to share, though. After my last midnight shift, it's always my tradition to go get a breakfast sandwich and enjoy it when I get back home. So I went to a Burger King and was going to get one of their croissant-wich things. And so my order was number 21, and the total came to $3.56, in which I paid for $4. And then she gave me 44 cents and change. So there's the 44 and the 4.44. So got some number flirts there. And just before the show started, I saw the number 5.55. So there's one for you. Other than that, I'm just excited for the Lord to take us out of here any day now. And as we get towards September, the encouragements are definitely increasing with this Shemitah cycle. Looks like the economy is doing as predicted with the stock market and everything. But with us, who are rapture-centric, bad news is good news. So it's just more signs pointing to us leaving now. So yay for that. And let's see, I'll go ahead and read the devotional out of Jesus Calling. Let's see, it says, I am the eternal I am. I always have been and I always will be. In my presence, you experience love and light, peace and joy. I am intimately involved in all your moments, and I am training you to be aware of me at all times. Your assignment is to collaborate with me in this training process. I take up residence within you. I am central to your innermost being. Your mind goes off in tangents from its holy center time after time. Do not be alarmed by your inability to remain focused on me. Simply bring your thoughts gently back to me each time they wander. The quickest way to redirect your mind to me is to whisper my name. We love you, Jesus. Cannot wait to see you. Love you. So I'll go ahead and open up Tana here, see if she has anything. Hi, Tana.
No, I love you. I love you, Lisa. I'm just walking through the grocery store. I don't necessarily have anything. Waiting to prove this is that I love Jesus and I can't wait to be with him. And I was enjoying the music you were playing.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for calling in. And anytime you do have anything, just jump right on in here.
Thank you.
And right now it's just you on the phone, so I'll go ahead and play another song here.
Sure.
Highway run into the midnight sun. Wheels go round and round on my mind. Restless heart, sleep alone tonight. Spending all my love along the wire. They say that the road ain't no place for start a family. Right down the line, it's been you and me. Love and the music, man, ain't always what it's supposed to be. Oh, girl, you stare at me. I'm forever yours. Faithfully.
are yours, Jesus. We love you. We are yours.
We love you. I have to say, I'm hanging on to the word that God told Jason about my work. So, you know, I would train, that I would train, and that I wouldn't. I may train, but I won't be working the job. And then, you know, the other word he said was, her life is not going to change, meaning I'm not going to be working another job. It's going to be the same before I poop. So, yay, Jesus.
And you had said you may start regular September 7th or that week.
Yeah, September 7th is the first schedule I would be on. I have to train like one or two more days. And then I have to take a server test. And, you know, in passing the server test, then I could be put on the schedule, but the schedule's already done for next week. So it definitely wouldn't be next week's schedule that I was on. It would be the following week, which is the 7th through the 13th schedule.
Oh, okay. So we got to be gone before the 7th.
Definitely. I mean, I can pick up shifts once I pass the test, but...
Well, that sounds good. We're gone. We'll go today, and then the worldwide rapture can be on September 1st.
Sounds amazing. Thank you, thank you, Abba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
So, let's see. I have this daily Bible study reading that I do, and I haven't completely gotten done with today's, and part of today's was Psalm 40, so I guess I'll go ahead and read it on the phone, and Carol's on the phone. I'll go ahead and I'll read this, and then I will unmute her. But Psalm 40, faith persevering in trial. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness and the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Yes, do not delay. Come. All right. We have Carol on the line. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Michelle and Tana and Rojo and guest. And I don't know who else might be on the phone. Is Pat on the phone?
No, just you and me and Tana.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, well, which psalm was that you read? Because I read
that
the other day.
It was Psalm 40.
Oh,
Psalm
really?
40?
Yeah, read it the other day. I remember the very beginning when you read it. I said, "Hey, I just read that psalm a few days ago." So it was really neat. Well, I'm telling you, this today has been an awesome day. There's a lot of I want to share, but first of all. You know, remember yesterday we were talking about, I mentioned that I have a fig tree in my backyard, and that I found one very dark red ripe fig, and the other ones that are in my tree are still green, and, you know, and I just felt it was a sign for me because of what the word says about the fig tree, which represents Israel, and you know, and there was just that connection that I felt. Okay, and then we talked about you know, the stock market tanking, and what I the only reason I somewhat pay attention to it is I have a little bit of background on stock market trading and what, you know, and you know, some education on it, okay? But what really, the reason that piqued my interest is because both in Isaiah and Revelation, Isaiah and Revelation talk about, you know, the one world currency going to be there, and people are going to be throwing their gold and silver in the streets because it's not going to be worth anything, since they're going to have a you know, a sign on their you know, the mark of the beast, and for 3 days in a row the stock market tanked. Now the stock market gurus have been predicting that there's going to be another crash, because the stock market crashes every 7 years, but it stays low for 6 to 7 months, and then people start buying the stocks because they're, you know, they cost very little. The stocks start going up, and so they're making money off their investment. Well, you know, based on the Word of God and where we are in this time frame, I personally believe, and many of us do, this also believe that this final stock market crash is it. That's the end of the road, in my opinion. I don't believe for one moment that, you know, it's going to recover and people are going to start investing in six or 7 months again. I think that once it crashes, we're out, and whether we go out before it crashes or it crashes the moment we go out, I don't know, but I know that there's not going to be any more stock market investments, because this is going to be a global falling out because of the mark of the beast, of the one world government, the AC, the false prophet, the deception, and the return of the Lord, for sure, especially. So, yeah, and you know what, for Rojo's sake, I started sharing my experience after after she hung up after 8 o'clock. So I just want to kind of go over it a little bit. And let me see what I wrote. If this is it. Okay, so just to recount, this is what happened. Alana and I were exchanging some emails Sunday morning. And, you know, I told her that I have a fig tree in the back. It's a baby fig tree. I've had it for a couple of years. But because we've had such a drought, I have, you know, it hasn't really blossomed. But this year we got a lot of rain, so the leaves are real big. And I have a few figs, not too many, and they're very green. But Sunday morning when I went to go look at it and water it, there was a ripe fig tree, fig at the bottom of the tree, and you know what? It was dark maroon like the blood moon. And you know, and so we were talking about we're about to enter the fourth blood moon. You know, at the end of September 28th will be in fact it'll be a super blood moon, super lunar eclipse. And if the patterns have been correct over, you know, over the years when they've had the, you know, the blood moons, they've always been a warning to Israel. It's not for us, for the bride. It's a warning for Israel. And something bad and something good has happened. And we know that Israel has always been under attack by her enemies, but God restored Israel in 1948 as a nation, and then in 1967, Jerusalem became her capital, because from 1948 to 1967, Jordan controlled Jerusalem, not Israel. All right, so that was prophetic. So there was a tetrad, you know, in 1948 or 49, and then again in 1967 and 68. You know, we have that. And then now, last year and this year, we're having the tetrad again. And look what has happened just in this last month regarding Israel. Both Great Britain and, you know, with the United States, this administration, turning their back on Israel by making this deal with Iran, you know, there. And so when this administration made that deal with Iran, and they're literally turning their back on not just us, but so is Great Britain turning our backs on Israel. Isn't it interesting that there, you know, now for me, now I understand the tetrad, because it's a warning for Israel. Well, what's the warning? That her enemies are going to come against her, and even her allies have turned against Israel. See, so it's like, wow, you know, we'll just wait. Well, hopefully we won't have to wait and see, because we'll be out. So we were talking about that and my fig tree, and Alana then tells me, you know what's a quote coincidence is that Saturday evening she went to the grocery store, and as she walked in, they were selling fresh figs. Well, one of the reasons I planted the fig tree is because I really like figs, but when the grocery store has them and they're fresh, they're very expensive, very expensive. And when, you know, and they grow, you know, fig trees grow in the climate that I live in. So anyway, she's telling me she went to the grocery store. As she walks in, there are fresh figs for sale. So she bought the figs because she had never tasted a fresh fig, and she was thinking of the fig tree relating to Israel. And here I am telling her about my fig tree, you know, and how I have several green figs, but I was so pleasantly surprised that I found a ripe red one. And when I picked it, I was, as I looked at the skin, it was that dark maroon, blood moon red. And I just looked at it and I thought, wow, Lord, are you telling me something here? You know? So in the meantime, Billy, you know, our lovable Billy, who sometimes probably shows up to hear us, sent me, you know, he and Alana and I were emailing each other. So he sent me some scriptures from, that he had read, and this is Luke 29. When Jesus spoke to them a parable, he said, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees." And then Luke 21:32, he says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled." And of course, he's referring to when the fig tree shoots forth, you will know that the summer is now near at hand, and we know all that. So the other scriptures he sent was from the Song of Solomon, and this is what it says. Now remember, the Song of Solomon is about the bride and the bridegroom, right? So this is what he sent me. My beloved spoke and said unto me, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter has passed, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." And here is my fig tree that has green figs, and Song of Solomon 2:13 says the fig tree puts forth her green figs. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. That's, you know, I mean, if that's not a word for us, you know. So this was really like, wow, Lord, I just got all perked up and I got all excited. Okay. Now, last night I could not sleep. And I mean, I tossed and turned and tossed and turned, and finally I just said, you know what? Since I can't sleep, I'm just gonna read. And I had been I had been thinking about the Genesis account of Joseph, when Joseph had his dream, and he told his brothers that he had this dream, and he was a chief, and the other 10 chiefs or 11 chiefs, you know, all bowed down to his chief, and you know they got jealous, and you know we know the story. You know, he was told to the Egyptians, and so on and so forth. Well, I had been considering that, account for a while. I love Joseph, and I love reading that account. And I hadn't read it in a long time, so I decided to read it last night, right? So, I read it all the way through, and I always get very misty-eyed because, you know, Joseph gets very emotional with his brothers. And I'm always reminded that, Judy's son, or Judy, or some of you maybe, others, have seen, have felt the Lord Jesus cry. Well, you know, Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus. You know, in case you all, I don't know if you all know this, but in that account, Joseph is an Israelite, right? Okay, and so he was circumcised because the Jews are circumcised, and his brothers turned against him, and they, sold him and he landed in Egypt, which is a type of the world. Well, what happened when Jesus came? When Jesus came, you know, he came for the Jews first, but they rejected him. And so, you know, because they rejected him, we are blessed to be the first to with the Gentile bride. And, you know, and I think I mentioned yesterday, you know, the scripture that says the first shall be last and the last shall be first really is speaking of, you know, the Jews being the chosen ones, the elected ones, but they're going to be last because they've rejected Jesus. And so the last, that's us, are first because we're the bride and we're going to go up. And when we go up, now the Lord is going to deal with Israel, right? And so, and that's what happened, you know, in that account, Joseph is rejected by his brothers, but not by his father, you know, and God the Father didn't reject his son, right? And so, but in Egypt, you know, he was so wise and so kind and so good and yeah, you know, man, the Egyptians loved him, and that's why they elevated him, and he was Pharaoh. He became Pharaoh's governor. You know, he was his right hand man, and you know, I just love that story. So, anyways, I read it, and in the account, there's the Pharaoh has a dream, and the dream is he sees seven cows coming out of a river, and they start eating in the marsh, and then they're fatted calves, they're healthy cows, and then no sooner than the cows are eating when he sees another seven cows come out of the river, and they go over to where the healthy cows are, and these cows are very skinny and scrawny, and they eat the healthy cows. There's also, and so there's a set of seven healthy cows and seven scrawny cows, and the scrawny cows eat the seven healthy cows, and he doesn't understand the meaning. And you know, the Lord gave Joseph the interpretation, which is that the seven healthy cows signifies seven prosperous years, and then the skinny cows represent the famine. And as I'm reading it, I'm considering, you know, the tribulation, because some, you know, I know Jerry and others might think that we're already in the tribulation, but I don't know. I know, you know, as long as we're still here, we don't know for sure. Once we leave, the Lord will give us all the answers. We'll know for sure. But, you know, I've always believed that while we're here, we're in the pre-tribulation season, and there will be a pre-tribulation rapture. And I don't, you know, so anyways, and when I read that, I thought there was some confirmation on it, okay? So now I'm like, wow, you know, maybe that's what it means. Okay, now, today, you know, this is what's unbelievable. Today, I get an email from I don't know if any of you have ever heard of the forum, the Five Doves. Well, back in 2007, I think it was, I found that website, and it's like a chat. It's not really a chat, but people post their thoughts, and then you don't get a reply until now. It's once a week. Back then, it was every day. People were, you know, you would post your thoughts, and the next day, you would get the replies. Well, you know, we were all looking for the Lord to return in 2007, and the reason we were looking for 2007, or I was, and many of us were, is because the numbers are very important to the Lord. And the number 7 signifies completion, and the number 8 is new beginnings. So, you know, we're trying to guess, but obviously we're still here, right? Okay, so I'm getting now to the post that I received today. This friend or acquaintance wrote a very long study, you know, on what is about to happen. You know, he's also, you know, rapture centric and has done in depth studies and so on and so forth. But this is what he wrote, and I'm gonna just read the part that pertains to what I read last night. He wrote this: "We must understand that Joseph is the complete type of Christ in the entire Word of God. All of his life points directly to Jesus in his character and in the details of his life. Because of this, there can be no doubt that the 7 years of famine represent the 7 years of tribulation surrounding the second coming of Jesus. Most all prophetic scholars will agree with this, but few prophetic scholars mention the 7 years preceding the 7 years of famine. In the life of Joseph, these preceding 7 years represented the 7 years of preparation, the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years before the 7 bad years, and there's also the 7-year warning to prepare for the 7 years of famine to immediately follow the 7 good years." And his thoughts are that the 7 years of plenty, the 7 healthy cows, started in 2008. And if you add, you know, 8 and 7, you come to, 15. So the tribulation, as we're all supposing, is going to start this year, most likely in September, you know. And so I was, you know, when he wrote that, I was just floored because, you know, of all the times that I chose to read Genesis 37 through 49, the account of Joseph, I read it last night. And here he writes this. So I'm just floored. I'm thinking, Lord, are you telling me something? Now then, if that isn't something, check this out. Remember we were talking about the stock market and how it's been tanking. Okay, well, you know, it tanked Thursday, Friday, and Monday. Now today, as I was keeping up with the stock market tickers, all the way up to like 2 o'clock, the Dow Jones was up 400 points. Now the stock market closes at 3 o'clock Eastern time, right? Or 4 o'clock Eastern time, 3 o'clock Central time. So after 2 o'clock, I noticed that the stock market is, you know, the Dow Jones and the S&P and the Nasdaq, you know, all of those indexes are falling. They're tanking. And I'm like, wow. Well, it closed today negative 205 points. So again, even though the stock market went up for most of the day, it couldn't maintain, and it crashed again. Right now, get this: this is what the closing number was for the Dow, Jones: 15,666. And when I looked at that number, I saw what immediately I saw was 666. Now I responded to Ron, my friend, you know, or my acquaintance, regarding that email that he sent, and you know, then he wrote back, and he mentioned, he said, you know, I noticed that the Dow Jones, after it went up 400 points, it came down over 600 points more to close minus 205 points for the day, closing at 15,666. That was the number I had seen on TV. And then he said, fascinating number, as in 2015, the Antichrist. And then I looked at it, I said, duh, it closed at 15,666. 15, meaning 2015, 666, the, you know, the, you know, the appearance of the Antichrist after we leave. So this was, to me, this was just a very exciting, exciting moment. It's an exciting day because, you know, for me, I've just been super encouraged. And are you all there? Are you all listening?
Yeah, we're here. We're here.
Oh, good.
I also want to add Judy is on the line too.
Oh, good. She's been hearing what I've been sharing, I hope. So anyway, you know, this has just been so awesome. I've just been so thankful to the Lord because, you know, I had been really, you know, I've been dragging my feet most of June and July because we're still here, you know, and we've been talking about how worn out we've been and blah, blah, blah. You know, we were just dragging our feet, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I know that a few days ago, in fact, I think it was this past weekend, like maybe Friday or Saturday, I said, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to be disappointed anymore. I'm just going to love you and praise you, worship you, just focus on you and believe and renew my faith in the fact that you are coming because you said you're coming and you're not playing games with us. You know, you're giving us all these signs and your word, Father, says that in the last days before Jesus returns, we're going to have all kinds of signs. Well, these signs aren't coming from, you know, we're not making these signs up. He's revealing all of these signs to us, and he's revealing them for a reason, because he wants us to be encouraged in the fact that he is coming. And just because we've been, you know, disappointed that dates have come and gone, you know what? He is coming. And for, as I said, personally, for me, he lifted my spirits up on Sunday, and last night when I read all, you know, the account of Joseph, then, you know, when I got my friend's email and I read it, and, you know, the exchanges, the email exchange between Alana and Bill and myself on Sunday morning, you know, I have a fig tree and I had that ripe fig tree, you know, and my other figs were green, are still green, and Alana going to the grocery store the night before, and she walks in and sees figs for sale, fresh figs for sale, and she bought some. I mean, this is we can't make this stuff up. This is God, you know, encouraging us, encouraging me. So I hope that what I shared with everybody will be encouraging to, you know, hey, you know, this is really it. And I'm believing that he's coming for us before September. So, you know, and if he does, you know, if he doesn't, it doesn't matter. He's coming. I know he's coming, and I'm holding on to him with, you know, we're all holding on to him. And it has to, you know. I mean, this is it. This is it, guys. So, you know, I'm telling you.
Amen. I love what you're saying. So true. It's like, he's coming. I know. Days come and go, but we're there. People, we're there. We really are. I told you each day God's been encouraging me.
Yes.
And thanks for all stuff you shared, Carol. Very good. Loved it. I'm driving in the car on my way to yoga again. It really is keeping me alive because God wants me to have energy while I'm here, and so I'm participating with that. But so my son has kind of watched my steady decline for things of this earth since God fell on him. Because remember, before God fell on him, type A personality here, teacher, busy schedule. If I wasn't teaching or correcting papers or, you know, doing stuff, I was very, very busy biking. And, you know, of course, being a mom and just, you know, I just very goal-oriented, very having my son doing zillions of things to be productive, you know. And so it all came to a grinding halt when he fell on it. So what I wanted to say is that all came to a grinding halt. And so my son has kind of watched me, and everybody around me that knows me, like my sister, has watched me turn into a very different person in terms of that part of my life. I'm still the same cheery, pretty, happy, nice person and stuff, but no, you know, I don't understand. I'm like type zero. I have no motivation for anything. I really don't give a shit what I eat. And I was like a really strong health food nut, okay, because I did a lot of athletics, a lot of vitamins. I just did a lot of things, okay? Only ate organic. Okay, so I have a testimony today. So, son, okay, I had to give that backdrop to tell you what I'm about to tell you. So I go, my son, me. And, you know, my son is the one that encourages me to go to yoga. He goes, Mom, I know you don't want to be here, and I know we are leaving any minute, but, Mom, while we're here, you know, don't let yourself go, you know? And he's been so sweet. And because of him, that's why I do any. He's like, you know, Mom, you were super beast to be super skinny, and he's like, you just want to be healthy. So he's like, so, you know, he made sure I got my belly down. And he makes sure that I dye my hair. Guys, I don't even care what I look like. And, like, seriously, my hair, he's the one that says, uh-oh, Mom, some gray's showing. Can you go get it colored? I mean, he's hilarious. My son cracks me up. He's like, Mom, you know, because we all have to look at you, you know. And he likes having a mom that doesn't have gray hair, because I've always looked like a lot younger than I am. But when I got Rapture Centric, like I let my hair grow out all the way. It's really long now, but it's like I didn't care about the roots, and I'm like whatever. So I'm doing stuff like that, okay? And this is what God did when He changed everything, because like I was the type that cared, and it was kind of nice to not give a shit. I love not having to care about superficial stuff like coloring my hair and being the perfect, you know, athletic this and that. So I was like, let's eat ice cream and party. It's the end of the world. Like, who cares about all these world standards anymore, right? Anyway.
Yeah. And
so, long story short, my son and I had to go, he's doing some drama theater stuff, and we had to go to the store to go get him a suit for his play. Okay, so he sees my lack of pretty much overall, like, motivation in this world, and it's really cute. Every now and then he makes these observations, and today he goes, Mom, the dog, because I take the dog with us everywhere, like when we go to the store, when we go, like today I took him with us to go try on his suits. I take him everywhere. He goes, Mom, he looked at me. Now he's a 12-year-old boy, okay? He goes, Mom, he's still a prophet. You know, he always will be, God told me, but the office of his job is over. And he's like, Mom. He goes, Mom, the dog's keeping you motivated, isn't he, to do stuff? And he's so insightful. He's just a little prophet. And you guys, I'm telling you, the dog is, I thought I got him for my son, because God said, get the dog for your son. Because if God told me, get a dog for me, I would not have done it. First of all, I can't afford dog food, and I wouldn't have done it. But it was like, I thought, okay, my son needs a dog. He's an only child. But God's like, get him for you. But everyone sees, my sister, my son, everyone knows it was really for me, okay? And so this dog, I don't know how to explain it to you, but he just gives me, I don't know, he's just what I need, okay? So for being, he's my rapture-centric support therapy dog. Anyway, so, you know, and my son looked at me before we went in the store. He goes, the dog's keeping you motivated to go on, isn't he? And I'm like, well, why do you say that? He goes, because, Mom, I know it's hard for you, but I really think that the dog and the cat is what you kind of live for. And I looked at him and I went, well, you're at the top of the list. You keep me motivated, then the dog, and then the cat. Then yes, that's the only reason why I wake up. You're right, Nate. And I told him, I go, you're right. And he goes, oh, because when I put him at the top of the list, he goes, "Aw, Mom, you're such a sweetie." But I go, "It's true." I said, "It's true,
yeah.
Nate." And he goes, "I know,
yeah.
Mom." He goes, "I know." But sometimes I think lately since we got the dog, like, he gets a little overlooked. And I'm like, "No, Nate, I totally love the dog way more. I love you way more, you know." But he's making observations. And it's really a testimony because, I mean, you know, those around us see that we're decaying. My sister sees it. She's like, "You know, I'm being renewed inwardly at the thought of my groom coming, but, like, I don't give a crap about anything
right.
here, and God did that, not me." I always, when
yeah.
I get, when I beat myself up about my, you know, lack of motivation sometimes, I'm like, "Nope, Paul, you're the one that made me not care about anything." And he's like, "Yeah." And anytime I get any kind of goal-oriented going, God keeps sabotaging me. He only
mm-hmm.
lets me go for the minimum. Okay, he only lets me go just so I can breathe 3 times a week. But, like, when I'm getting my type A mode, I'm going to go every day, and I'm going to, like, you know, and he keeps cutting me off. He doesn't let me get any kind of, like, routine going. It's interesting how
mm-hmm.
he's keeping me very much detached, but I can do the
yeah.
bare minimum, you know, with my son and his homeschool, and then I'm working part-time in the mornings to just cover some bare costs.
Yeah.
It's still not enough.
Right.
You know what's funny? I don't have a budget because I don't have enough. Nothing of what I've been doing has made any sense. And sometimes my sister's like, "Write down on paper." I'm like, "No, because if I write down on paper what I'm doing, I'm going to have a freaking heart attack because for everything I'm doing, I have no means to be doing any of this, you know?"
Yes.
But God
uh-huh.
surprised. He provides. He's just continuing to do amazing things. And,
yeah.
like, I got my brand new suit for, like, way cheap at Burlington Coat Factory today, and I'm just like,
uh-huh.
"God, you're so good." Like, he's, you know, he's just making sure that I have what I need, and he's good,
right.
and it's sometimes
right.
last minute, and, but it's okay,
yes.
so I just want to say that, you know, if your only motivation for getting up is, like, you know, like, your dog or your cat or your kid or whatever,
right.
or just, you know, whatever, at least you have that, and that's, God saw that you guys, I
was, before we got the dog, I don't have to know how to describe it to you. I was getting so rapture-centric. I cried out to God. I go, "You have to come take me. I am dying." Like, I mean, not even
yeah.
my son's enough. Like, even getting up and cooking for
yeah,
him.
I
it was.
Yeah.
A lot of times I get up just so I can make him breakfast, but he's 12 now. I'm like, "Make your own flipping breakfast." You know, I have mommy's dying. Okay? And God saw that. God literally saw
yeah.
that, and I'm convinced that that's why he said get the dog. Because, see, I have to get up early to take him out at 6 to make sure he goes pee. So it's like it makes me get up. And then once I'm up,
right.
I'm happy to make breakfast for everybody. And I mean, I'm telling you, God knows what we need. And I'm just
yes.
amazed
yes.
that
because
he gave condition. It's a real condition. If you're ever doubting yourself, you guys, it really is a real condition. And the only cure is the rapture, and it ain't going away. You are not going, I mean, if you're a true bride, he told me it's going to get worse, but my spirit's going to get stronger, and that's true. I'm like
oh,
a
yeah.
Hakuna Matata. I don't have any worries. I'm just like, whatever, you know what, if I need
yeah.
it, it'll be there. Like, Hakuna Matata, just, I won't, you know, in
yeah.
this part-time job I'm working, they're trying to reel me into full-time, because I was trying to keep it a secret that I had a credential, because I told you guys I'm doing this grunt work. I'm getting paid hardly
right.
anything. For 3.5 hours a day, but I'm lifting books and doing, like, stuff that you would do if you didn't have, like, an education. And so when I went in today, I guess the word's getting around, and they're needing, like, help from a credentialed person. And the secretary goes, Jerry was on the phone. He heard the whole conversation. He was laughing so hard because I forgot I had him on the phone when I walked in to check in. And she goes, like, "Do you have a credential?" And I'm like, "Shh, don't do that. Who told you that?" "No, I don't. I don't." And she's like, "You do, don't you?" She goes, "We really need you. Do you think you can?" And I'm like, "You know what? I said I really like doing what I'm doing here. I'm really not looking for, like, a full-time thing. But once in a while, you know, I can do that for you. Because once in a while, frankly, I need more money, okay?" So, but see, if the Lord's coming, you know, but I can't do full. I got to homeschool my kids, so I have to get off before noon. You know, and my sister, when she's not working, she does it. And so then I can do a full day. But, you know, it's just like all this juggling. And it was like, I really, like, if I wasn't rapture-centric, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. But I know that God's coming. So I don't even think I'll be going to that job tomorrow. You know, I don't want anyone dependent on me for anything because I'm the biggest flake. Because some days I'll wake up so rapture-centric, like I didn't want to go in. Today. No, I literally did not want to go in. And it's a 3.5-hour job, and it's grunt work. So I could always say I'll make it up and do that, you know, whatever. The thing is, I was about to do that because I was like, I can't do that today. I can't go in. I'm just going to homeschool Nate, and then I'm too rapture-centric. But the Lord was so cool. He was like, you know what? You don't need to. And when he told me I didn't need to, because what motivates me is money, because I'm like, fuck, you know, I need to buy food, you know. So, but when right. he was like, you don't need to. And when he said that, then I just threw on a pair of sweats and a cap, and I just said, you know what? Thank you. And all the pressure was off. I didn't put on any makeup. I just showed up at the job, and I'm like, I hope it's okay that I'm dressed like this. She's like, who cares? All you're doing is working back here anyway. I'm like, I know, because I said I wasn't going to come in because I was just kind of tired today. She's like, oh, yeah, no. She goes, if you ever just feel like you don't want to come in sometimes, that's fine. Just text me. I'm like, oh, really? Okay. And see,
wow.
So first of all, the pressure off, and then when I got there, I had the energy. You know, he's like, I'm just sharing my little testimony because until he gets here, he's going to give us what we need to hang on. And I'm super exhausted like everybody. Sometimes I just feel like I'm totally dying. And it's because it's an emotional thing. It's really not my physical health because I'm in like really good health for a 46-year-old, honestly. I mean, I was just in really an unusual condition before he maybe rapture centric, so I was already like this athlete, so I kind of like all my ice cream didn't really do much. I'm back to my, and the thing is, God knew that because he knew when he called me I was going to be total off, so he had to make sure I was healthy before he called me into this, you know. Because when I found out he was coming, I'm like, screw it, let's eat ice cream. And my son and Kevin loved being around me because I used to serve and cook for everyone, but I never hardly ate the stuff. Only, you know, I never sat around and ate pie and just talked with people. I was always busy doing stuff. And my sister and everybody was like, it's so nice that you, like, sit and eat with us and talk with us because it's like it's the end of the world. I don't have to do anything anymore. And I'm telling you, God has hand-tailored each of our situations. And I just don't plan on being here tomorrow. I really, truly don't, okay? you guys, he's coming. He's coming imminently.
Yes, he is.
What Carol was saying, believe it. What Carol was saying, because I was just listening to her going, you got it, Carol, you are, we're out of here, people, we're out of here.
Yes, and then, Judy, I don't know if you heard the part that I said, I'm reading, you know, the end of Joseph's, journey when his brothers come to Egypt to buy food, and he recognizes them, but they don't recognize him. And as he's talking to them, he steps aside, he goes to another room, and he starts weeping and crying. And, you know, and I'm getting goosebumps. You know, I tell you, I got emotional. I always get emotional when I read that part. But what came to me was when you have said, either you or your son or others have seen Jesus crying. And I'm more of a New Testament person. I read the New Testament more than I've read the Old Testament. But Joseph is a picture of Jesus, and he's weeping because he's so happy that he's seeing his brothers, you know. And then at one point, he tells his servants. Joseph tells his servants, "Okay, everybody out, just leave me alone with them." And he tells them, "I am your brother Joseph," and he starts crying and on their shoulders. Weeping, and I'm just thinking about what you have seen, and I'm like, Lord, I'm just beside myself because I've never envisioned Jesus crying, but there in the Genesis account, there is Jesus crying, and I'm just like, I'm telling you, I was just speechless, and well, I was actually crying because that is, you know, every time I think that's where I really fell in love with Jesus, even though I was always in love with him. But every time I read Joseph's whole history, I just start crying because he's so good and he's so loved by the Egyptians that his family rejects him. And how blessed we are, his Gentile bride, because, you know, if they had not rejected him, we would be last. We would be the ones going through the tribulation, not them. But because they rejected him, we get to go first as his bride. That doesn't mean he doesn't love them, you know, he loves us more than them. He loves us equally, but because we've received, you know, and embraced him, we get to go first. That's all. That's, you know, that, what a blessing, what, you know. And he showed me this. And then when I got that, you know, that that study today, I was just like, Lord, you know that I needed to be encouraged. And with all the signs for September, you know, I mean, I was talking to a friend today, and we were saying, you know, of all the years that I've been watching since 2005, never have I seen the unity of the body of Christ through YouTube and through, you know, websites where the true watchers are believing that something huge is going to happen in September. And many are believing that the majority believe we're leaving in September, sometime in September. But, you know, we rapture-centric retards, but we're leaving today, anytime now. You know, if it has to be September, okay. But we're not waiting for September. We want Jesus to come now, and we're calling on him to come now. And we want him to come now, and we believe he's coming now. And that's faith. That's faith. You know, and God is going to answer, you know, our request, because we have that faith. That's what faith is. We're not believing that it's going to be next month. And even though we've been believing since, you know, 2013, that it's, you know, it's any day now, and it's any month, this month and that month, and dates have come and gone, and I had this vision, the Lord told me this and that. You know what? We're still together. And this is another blessing for me. And I've mentioned it many times, and I'm saying it again. If it wasn't for you guys, you know, I would be super lonely, because even though I have friends and acquaintances, they're not rapture centric. They don't want, they will humor me and tolerate me talking about the end of times, that, you know, hey, pay attention. You know, we're living in the last days now. And they're like, yeah, we are. And then as soon as they get a chance, they will change the subject, because they don't want to talk about the Lord returning like we are. And like so many people are on YouTube, and the comments that we're reading, they're like, everybody's like, you know, there's more unity now than I've ever seen. And there's still the naysayers and whatever, but they're far and few between now. So, you know, God is really revealing himself to us now, just like Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. We're also the brethren of Jesus, and he's revealing, you know, himself to us with all the signs. And, you know, this is no coincidence, and this is, I'm just really, you know, I want to cry. I really want to cry, because I cry with joy, because finally, we know we're about.
Hello? Carol, are you still there? Let's see, it says she's still on here. I don't know, but